LTT leg construction that later turned into teak construction, Tom Donner. He was the original builder, worked for the builder. When we had our first addition, it was put on the back of the house. I had him do it. He permitted it, I guess. I've never seen the permits. I am told that it was permitted. Still on the front of the house. Same situation. I assumed it was permitted. I paid the bill. Came to an addition to the garage. Same situation. Was never considered it. I assumed the builder, he's a reputable builder. I'd had him build three additions. This came up. Was never brought to my attention. I never even thought about it. I think I told you one other time, the day we finished, the day I paid for it, the county assessor was there. I didn't really think too much about it, but I assumed there was a reason he was there.
Didn't the accessory building was also built by the same
person? Yes, by this construction, yes. When this first came up, I received the letter. I called Tom, and I said, hey, we got a problem here. And he said, well, there was no reason to get a permit. And out in the county, he said, didn't need it. And so I assumed that there was something that went wrong, and he helped me fill out the application for the zoning. That's his writing that we presented. It was turned down. I paid the fine, whatever that was. It was turned down by the zoning people because it didn't meet the proper setback, and 11 years later, here I am. And when you deal with, I've talked to Tom about this. He assumes no responsibility at all. He says there was no reason for him to do that. And short of legal action, I probably won't get any consideration out of it at all.
And yet he completed the permits on the other construction on the house?
I am told that. I've never seen the permits. It was in the staff report that they did it. I'm not in the building business. I sell meat for a living. You hire somebody to do a job, and you expect them to do the job. I don't know. I haven't talked to a whole lot of people. I guess if you build a house, I should maybe go next time. I'll go look for a permit. But I was not aware of it. I figured he handled it. So there I am, and it sat there for almost 10 years. No one complained. County came out, assessed it. I'm paying taxes on it. It's assessed for $3,300 now. I paid quite a bit more than that. I'm on the assumption that everything is okay. And I, out of the blue, this shows up, and we kind of know how that happened. And I'm stuck. Hopefully,
I appreciate you sharing that. Other questions for Mr. Eichner at this point? Yeah. Any other comments from the public? Yes, sir. If you would come forward and identify yourself, we'd appreciate it.
Evening. Hi, Len. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
My name is John Goose, and I happen to live at 5527 Oak Lane. I live right next door to Dennis. I just wanted to say that, you know, his closest neighbor, the people who live closest to the building we're talking about, it's a very attractive construction. You really have to look hard to even see it. We're very comfortable with it. In our neighborhood, I don't know how much this is all makes a difference to you guys, but it's a beautiful structure. Dennis is a great neighbor, and as neighbors, we have zero problem with it. It fits the neighborhood with the timber, very unobtrusive, and it's a lovely building. So, I just wanted to make that comment.
And then we also have the letter that's been referenced, and we will be entering that into record, the one that was here. Are there any other public comments by letter or phone call that we've received? Okay. This is your chance for any closing comments. I believe we've heard from you in the fall. We've heard from you this evening. Any last minute thoughts you'd like to share?
I'm assuming that in the previous meetings we did have the letters from other neighbors that sent things.
Correct.
And this building was approved by the Architectural Control Committee, which governs our small little community as far as any structures. Going back on that, back to your question, I remember Tom Donner coming to me and saying we had that approved because we had some drawings that were presented to them when we had it built. And you just kind of assume that everything is handled. And so those are the only other comments at this time, I guess.
Okay, then we will close this hearing at this point in time and begin our specific deliberations that we need to go through. I would like to ask Leanne, before we get started, to make sure we understand any past actions. Mr. Eichner indicated a fine that had been paid. Could you review for the board? Okay, that's fine. Sheena? Would you like to review with the board what the actions have been taken so we understand those?
Want to know what the fine was?
Yeah.
Well, it was for the original permit fee, so it's double the permit fee, and I don't believe I have that on me right now.
They paid the original application fee plus double?
Yeah, that's how the fee is set up for a violation like that. Okay. Yeah, $100 plus the permit fee.
Okay. Reminder to the board in that we are down to three individuals this evening. We still are required by our charge to do it by a quorum, which means that in order to make action this evening, we must be unanimous in order to have three out of the five total votes that are there. So just as a reminder as we go down through that. So we have the findings of facts that were presented by the board. Now, Leanne, at what point did we table this the last time? Are there some of these actions that have already been taken by the nature of what we did in the fall?
If I recall, we rescinded every, you took the action, you had perhaps done the findings of facts, but the action you took to table rescinded everything.
Took everything off.
So
okay,
I think
then
it's more clear to start with everything.
We need to go from the beginning. So we got the staff report, which is the findings of facts. In the staff report, are there any questions or things that you'd like to explore further as presented from the staff report on the findings of facts?
To adopt the findings of fact as revised in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
I second that.
Okay. Okay, we've got a motion to adopt the findings of fact as revised in the, as presented in the staff report, prepared and presented to the Story County Board for Adjustment. Motion by McGrill, second by Scarlett. Roll call vote, please.
Miller.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Gilmeyer. Absent. Larson. Absent.
Okay. The next item would be the legal principles, and in these items, we've got several items to go through. First of all is the finding of unnecessary hardship, which includes three items: that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return, that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself, and the use of the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. That is the first legal principle that we must apply. The second one is that granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And the third item is that the spirit and intent of the Story County development plan, the Story County land development regulations, are protected. Are there items specific that the board would like to address in relations to those? I mean, the quandary that we are stuck with at this point in time is the fact that we fully understand that we've got an accessory building that was constructed not in compliance with the regulations. That was 11 years ago. You've heard from the applicant that they believed in working through a contractor, that they thought that they were doing what they ought to do. But clearly we had a building that was built that was not in compliance with regs. And they have indeed paid a fine. And I'm sure the concern of the board to a certain extent is, you know, build what you want and pay your fine later and everything's okay. And that's a problem, and I don't know what we do to deal with precedents on that particular issue. We may want to ask for some advice from staff on that regard.
Can I ask staff a question?
Sure.
Have we run across many instances where the building was constructed and we were not aware of it till as high as 10 years after the building went up?
This particular one is probably the longest time since construction of which we've been made aware. I can think of a couple that were 4 to 5 years. But I do, this one does stand out as the longest one.
And are there any noticeable precedents in those other decisions?
There was a shed that was constructed within the front setback, and that was denied. There was a garage that was too close to the property line on the side lot line, and that was denied. That structure might have been there for a few years, too. But then there are, on the flip side, there have been a couple that have been approved as well. And there's precedent, equal precedent in either direction, which doesn't give you a lot of guidance.
I need to ask for advice, I guess, from staff. I don't question the motives of the Eichners in this particular case, and clearly the neighbors feel that this structure is, you know, not a detriment to their area or other things like that. We have seen pictures other times, and that would appear to be the case. what sort of action can this board take that would not create a precedent? I mean, clearly we've got land development regulations for a reason. And in this particular case, intentional or non-intentional, those were ignored. And the mere fact of paying the $125 fine, there are people out there that would say, I'll pay $125 and do whatever I want to do. What can this board consider that would not create a precedent that would open that sort of door?
Well, in the past, the board has placed additional fines on individuals. In particular, I'm thinking of the water tower by Colo. And I don't recall the amount of that fine. That was a great number of years ago. We'd like to say that each and every case stands on its own merits. Just as in each and every zoning permit that's applied, we judge based on what's in front of us. But it is a fine line because as acting as a quasi-judicial board, your decision ultimately is appealable only through the court system. So in that capacity, you do act in a similar nature to a court, and your actions do by default then set a certain level of precedence. You could carefully word the decision in order, craft the decision in order. I don't have any guidance on that language as of yet. This is a definitely unique property in that there are some there's some topographical concerns, some wooden, some more mature trees on the property that in the past you've looked at as helping to locate where the structure should ideally be placed. But again, fine is an option, but your point is well taken. There are some out there where I would look at $125 and it concerned me a lot. There are some that would look at $125 and it would not affect them.
Mr. Chairman, I did drive by this property and look at it as far as putting it in a different area. I would have to agree with the Eichners. From what I saw, it is very difficult. It falls off in the back. They really don't have too many options open to replace it. From my limited opinion.
Lynn, do you have...
Yeah. Leanne, if we are somewhat of a judicial group, is there any type of statute of limitations on some of this? Again, I come down to the 10.5 years or 11 years. If this has been constructed here within a very short period of time, a year, and it was discovered, that's one thing. But this thing's been up quite a while. That's the reason I ask.
The land development regulations, which is the guiding regulations for us, is silent on that, and we don't receive much direction from the Code of Iowa and the powers and duties of the Board of Adjustment as to a time span in which, like you just said, statute of limitations. So I'm not aware of any. Whether there's case law out there that has by de facto established them, I don't know that answer. I would have to seek some legal advice, but I'd like to believe that if there was that case law out there, we'd be up to speed on it.
Without Mr. Eichner and Mrs. Eichner, you've presented us with a quandary. I think you can sense that as we go. That in all likelihood, if you had come to us with an original application asking to build this building, beyond that, we probably would have denied that. I think I speak for the board in saying that we do not believe that you have irresponsibly developed your property, okay, in terms of what you've chosen. Your neighbors have represented that, but you still leave us with a quandary as we go through that, because there may be others that maybe are not driven by the same factors that you have been driven by, and that then creates our quandary. I guess I'm going to suggest to the board that because I believe that this property has been responsibly developed, as evidenced, I think, from both the owner and the people in the area, that we consider approval of this, but I do believe there needs to be probably some additional penalties because in the absence of that, we're creating a precedent that may not be tenable within the county land development regulations. And I know that doesn't necessarily feel good to you, but by the same perspective, I think you probably understand, and it's probably far less than anything it would take for you to take this down as you go down through this. So I guess I would ask the board to consider that as a possibility as we move forward. Thoughts, pros, or cons to that?
I would be open to that idea. Like I said, I've looked at the property. I believe the Eichners have done as good as they can do. There's really no other place to put it. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac, and the property does drop off. But you're right. It does put us in a position that the laws are the laws, and we may be setting a precedence for something down the line. Having said that, though, I would go along with something of that nature.
I like that idea.
Okay. Then let's look at the what we're saying basically is that the legal principles, the unnecessary hardship, the granting the variance not to be public to the public interest, and the Story County development plan and the LDRs are protected. That we would basically be in agreement with that, with a stipulation which we would have in the final motion. Is that?
Agreed.
Okay.
So you wish a motion to that effect?
I think that would be, in terms of adopting the legal principles, that would be correct.
Move to adopt the decision regarding the legal principles revised in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments with the exception of a stipulation of that will be spelled out in the final decision.
Okay. I second that motion.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to adopt the decision regarding legal principles revised in the staff report, presented in the staff report, prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Leanne, roll.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Then we've got to come down to our final action, which will include the actions that Steve mentioned. We have an applicant that has already paid a fine of $125, acknowledging basically that may not have been appropriate to get us to this point. We are considering raising that. Is there a sense for where the board feels that would be fair?
Do we, Leanne, do we have any case law? Do we have any past
precedents
that
exist?
On the case, the one fine I mentioned, the Central Iowa Rural Water installation of a sign on the Colo Water Tower. I believe that fine was $250, but that was related to the the cost of the similar to this, the zoning permit, double the permit fee, and the failure to have the required inspections.
Was that $250 in total?
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular case, we've already had $125.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, that was... development application he submitted was for that fee. I have a copy of it. In the case of the Central Iowa Water, we had a different fine schedule in place at that point, and so the way it operated, staff was not collecting fines prior to the Board of Adjustment action. It was a different period in time.
But the regular application, if a person comes in, the fee is currently?
Based on the value of construction, so it was probably a $25 fee. $15 was the permit fee. So it's the denied permit fee. Now there are $15 for the fine and then failure to have a foundation inspection. Foundation location inspection is $100. I think the $125, as Sheena just said, was for the application for the variance, actually. So there's probably been another $130 paid to.
So you're saying that there was $115 paid and then an additional $125 on top of that?
$125 is for the board to consider variance. Any action that comes before you has an associated fee. Yeah. And then zoning permits and fines are a whole different separate schedule.
Grounded property owner fees, the application.
Staff have a recommendation on a fine?
If I guess we could look at the $100 again for a foundation location inspection. That's defined in the ordinance. And then, you guys want us to look into to see what other jurisdictions have done, if this has come up. What we are only able to find at the staff level is that $100 for foundation location inspection and then the permit fee again. But I don't think there's a clear limitation on the board's part. And
I think it's up to us to decide the amount because by inference we're creating something of a precedent.
I was going to say, but we are creating a precedent.
No matter how you want to draw the line. Is there a comfort level with the board on there?
I move a $500 fine.
Why don't you restate that in the order?
Okay.
Basically, we would be approving the request with the stipulation.
I move to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case VAR 05-10 is discussed by the Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared for it presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied with the stipulation that the applicant pays a fine of $500.
I second that motion.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill, a second by Scarlett, to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case VAR 05-10. As discussed by the Board of Adjustments and the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments, finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied with the additional stipulation that a $500 fine be applied due to the fact that construction was undertaken without approval.
Okay. Leanne, roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Gil?
Aye.
Mr. and Mrs. Eichner, it's unfortunate that we're here. I think we both feel that way. And I think you've heard the deliberations as we go. And, for a $500 stipulation, your house, certainly your garden home, can remain. So, thank you.
I will add, it is a nice-looking facility.
I don't think any of us were taking issue with that. We appreciate it. Okay, our next item of business, I've been informed by staff, VAR 04-10, the Vince variance, has been tabled for this evening.
Oh.
So we will not be hearing that variance.
We'll need to take action to actually table it.
Table it? Okay. Do I have a motion then to table the Vince variance, VAR 04-10?
I move that we table the Vince variance.
Second.
We've got a motion from Scarlett, a second from McGill, to table the Vince variance, VAR 04-10, per the applicant's request. Angie? Leanne?
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
We will move on to new business then. We have a conditional use permit right now. This is for the Lee conditional use permit, that's CUP 01-11. This is for a conditional use permit for construction of a communication tower in the A1 agricultural distance. We'll turn it over to staff.
Okay. All right. The applicant tonight is U.S. Cellular. Property owner is Daniel and Lennis Lee. Description of the lease area is a 100-foot parcel of land being a part of and entirely within the west half of the northeast quarter of Section 22, Township 82 North, Range 24 West of the 5th PM, Story County, Iowa. It's designated as the Cooperative Planning Tier 2 on the Land Use Framework Map. Like you already mentioned, it is currently zoned A1 and is the current use is agricultural crop production. The requested action tonight is a 250-foot tall self-support tower in a 75-foot by 75-foot fence compound. They're proposing a 30-foot wide utility access easement with a 12-foot wide gravel driveway. And inside there would be a 12-foot by 20-foot equipment shelter inside the compound, and also a power transformer and telco interface rack outside the compound. The site is designed to accommodate up to 4 antenna arrays and 3 more sets of antennas. When applying for a new cell tower, the applicant must demonstrate alternatives for co-location, as stated in an engineering statement. At the last PNZ meeting, it was asked if, well, there's a water tower, the water tower in Huxley. There are currently a Verizon antenna on there, and the applicant has stated that that would be not tall enough for this new cell tower. The applicant justification, though, the closest U.S. Cellular site is located approximately 2 miles east of the proposed location, which does not provide sufficient in-building coverage. The site that currently covers Huxley is becoming increasingly busy due to increased cell phone usage and data usage. No existing structures in the area with adequate height and or structural integrity to support the antennas in the area. And as stated in the engineering statement in your packets, it is the best site to minimize the number of sites required in the future. Here's the vicinity of the proposed tower just northwest of Huxley there. And this is a photo taken. And then this was the site plan submitted with the setbacks and location of the tower. As far as considerations for tonight, there are two single-family dwellings located within 0.25 miles. One of them is owned by the property owner. All properties located within a half mile of the site are zoned A1 agricultural as well. And as far as transition, setbacks are measured from the center of the tower. I put all the setbacks up here, but the tower is required to be set back 150% of the proposed height from the right-of-way and the nearest residential parcel. And as you can see, those have all exceeded the minimum. From all other property lines, it is 50% of the height where the setback is determined, and those are also all met. And it is approximately 2,280 feet from the city of Huxley, their limits. They're proposing approximately 6 to 10 routine maintenance trips per year. A gate will be built to replace existing fencing at entrance. Parking space will be made available on the gravel turnaround adjacent to the fence compound for maintenance vehicles. It was also stated by the engineer's office that an entrance permit is required before start of construction. For signs and lighting, there are no signage proposed, and well, they're limited to the FCC requirements. Lighting must be in accordance with the FAA requirements. The tower is proposed to be lit at the top and midway with blinking red lights at night and white during the day. And there's also a motion-activated safety light on the shelter proposed. For fencing and screening, the requirement is to have the lowest 6 feet screened. They are proposing an 8-foot PVC fence and brown wood color. The simulation of the tower, which is in your packets, shows that the facility is completely enclosed, so they've met that requirement. All proposed steelwork is galvanized as required, and they're also there's a requirement for the annual declaration of continuing operations. The applicant has recognized this and agrees to remove the tower within 90 days of being abandoned or is no longer in use. So prior to this meeting, May 2nd, 2011, the Story County Planning and Zoning reviewed the CUP 0111 with conditions and directed staff to place it on today's agenda for a Board of Adjustment. They recommended the following conditions. The applicant shall acquire a zoning permit for tower, equipment, shelter, and any other structures prior to the beginning of construction of these facilities. Applicant shall require an entrance permit for the proposed driveway prior to beginning of construction. An applicant shall submit the annual declaration stated in Section 10.9B of the Story County Land Development Regulations. And with that, these are your alternatives. Let me know if you have any questions.
So basically, as you go through the permit, it appears that numerically all the different setbacks, all the heights, and et cetera, have all been met.
Yep. Your last one you approved was the moon CUP, if you recall that one.
Questions for staff? Okay. Then we will ask for the applicant. Who speaks for the applicant this evening? If you come forward and address the board, we'd appreciate it.
Good evening. My name is Rich Kotite. I'm the site acquisition agent for U.S. Cellular, 25870 Highway 2, Keosauqua, Iowa. As Sheena put, and first I'd like to thank Sheena and staff for the excellent job they did in helping us wend our way through the process. Clear, the ordinances are clear, and when there were questions, they were very prompt in responding to any of our questions. So I think they should be commended for that. You're lucky to have them. as Sheena stated, and as was posed up on the PowerPoint there, the Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously approved our the recommendation to approve this conditional use permit application, and so we humbly request that the Board of Adjustment do the same. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions about this project.
The only comment that I would have is, and there were comments from some of the county people, where clearly the county is not wanting to proliferate individual sites. I noticed in the staff report where they turned around and said that you're developing a tower that has some future capabilities for X number of antenna arrays and et cetera. So does that make your site a future co-location?
We can't predict the other carrier's network requirements, but it certainly
mine is such that
it would support. Yes, so indeed.
If our overall goal is to not proliferate these facilities, you are attempting through your design to be at least available.
Correct. It's structurally designed to handle up to three more sets of antennas, so three more carriers, if you will. And there's plenty of space inside the compound, the fence compound, for their ground equipment, be it another shelter or outdoor cabinets. It's very common for carriers to co-locate on each other's towers. But again, it's up to the AT&T's or the Verizon's to determine the utility of this tower.
And there's business decisions to be made, but
sure.
Making sure that we have the infrastructure in place to not proliferate was really the nature of what I wanted to explore.
Okay.
Thank you. Other questions for the applicant at this time? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Any questions or comments from the public at this point in time? Okay. I assume you don't have any closing comments, having just sat down?
No.
Okay. Assumption on my part. But having said that, we will now close this report and begin the deliberations at this point in time. Conditional use permits require us to go through certain aspects, and the beginning part is the findings of facts, as we've heard from Sheena, as put forth in the staff report. Do we have any comments or questions on that? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Move to adopt the decision regarding the standards of approval was put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Oh, I'm sorry, second.
Okay, we've got a motion from Miguel, second from Scarlett, to adopt the findings of fact as put forth in the staff report prepared and presented for the Story County Board of Adjustments for CUP 01-11. Leah.
Aye.
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 Okay, I believe the staff report in listening just indicates that from the numerically and et cetera, that most of the criteria in terms of standards for approval, I shouldn't say most, all have been met. From that aspect, so we would be looking for a motion regarding the approval of the standards for approval. And that includes items for compatibility, transition, traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, and environmental protection. And in addition, if we feel those have all been accommodated, we must recommend, unless it concludes, if completed as for those, that it will not protect health, safety, and welfare, that it will not impair an adequate supply of light and air, that it will not unduly increase congestion in the roads, diminish or impair property values, or not be in accord with the intent, purpose, or spirit of land development. So there's a number of criteria, but I believe stipulations from the staff would indicate that we've met all of those items.
I'll move to adopt the decision regarding the standards of approval as put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
We've got a motion from McGill, a second from Scarlett, to adopt the decision regarding standards for approval as put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment. Shan?
Aye.
Aye.
Elmire absent, Larson absent.
So then we come down to our final motion, of which we would want to turn around and, you know, since we've gone through the criteria, we would need to make sure that we preserve the three recommendations that have come to us from Story County Planning and Zoning.
Move to approve the request as proposed by the applicants in case number CUP-01-11 as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared for and presented by the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all standards of approval have been satisfied subject to the requirements placed on it by the Planning and Zoning Board.
Second.
So we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP-01-11 as discussed by the Board of Adjustments and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all standards for approval have been satisfied subject to the requirements that were previously placed by Story County Planning and Zoning. Leanne.
Miller. Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Fielmeyer absent, Larson absent.
The application is approved as submitted. The final item of business this evening is a minor modification to CUP-01-4. It's a minor amendment to approve the conditional use permit for gravel and sand extraction operation, to permit an extended time frame for operation of proposed use, and to revise verming and landscaping requirements. I'll turn it over to staff.
Okay, the applicant for CUP-01-04 is OMG Midwest Incorporated. Property owner is the same. The property is described as the north 32 acres of the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter and the south 35 acres except highway of the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter, section 13, township 83 north, range 24, Story County, Iowa. There's two parcels. I'll be showing a map here shortly.
How confusing that is. Southeast corner of the northeast corner. And
I always wonder if I should read it off or not.
Couldn't help but comment on that.
The parcels are identified as environmentally sensitive land and is within the 2-mile limit of the City of Ames. The northernmost parcel is designated as a gateway protection area also in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. The current zoning is A1 and is currently currently induces sand and gravel extraction. The requested action, you've already read this, I can read it again. The request is for a minor modification to conditional use permit case number CUP-0104 to add the condition that major progress toward the establishment of the extraction operation begin before December 31st, 2036, superseding section 10.60 of the Story County Land Development Regulations. The applicant is additionally requesting that until the time of operation begins at the site, planting be limited to soil stabilizing grasses, and that a more general requirement of tree of a species to be determined by the operator being spaced not less than 30 feet in distance planted at the outer toe of the berm be added instead of the permitted planting schedule. With the additional request affecting condition number 9, the applicant has also requested condition number 9 to be removed, which states, on the east side of the subject parcels, trees shall be planted inside of the crest of the berm to prevent snow from drifting onto South Dayton Avenue.
Here's the location of case 04 or 0104. It's southeast of Ames on intersection 35 and 30. I'm sure you're all aware of where it's at. And these are the subject parcels. Based on the materials submitted by Matt Graham with OMG Midwest Incorporated, it was determined the nature of the modification was such a level that it would be processed as a minor modification. This determination is made by the planning director. I think the letter was in your guys' in the packet you received. Just as far as the definition as defined in the LDR, a minor modification to approved permits are permissible with the approval of the Board of Adjustment. A modification is minor if it has no substantial impact on neighboring properties, the general public, or those intended to use or occupy the proposed development. As far as the background, on March 3, 2004, the Board of Adjustment reviewed and approved the Bradshaw Sand Extraction, who were the current owners at the time, for a mineral extraction and primary mineral processing operation in the A1 zoning district. A year extension was approved on May 6, 2009 by the Board of Adjustment with a deadline of March, that's an expiration of March 3, 2010, with a condition that required floodplain permits be applied for. A letter from Decor Properties, who were then the new owners at that point, on May 6, 2010, stated that substantial activity to establish the conditional use permit has begun. Since the expiration date was March 3, 2010, Decor Properties needed to formally request an extension of CUP 0104 beyond the March 3, 2010, as activity resumed following the expiration of the conditional use permit. The extension would then be put on the June 2, 2010 agenda. Floodplain permits had not been applied for as of May 6, 2010, which was a condition at the May 6, 2009 Board of Adjustment meeting. Notice of violations were then issued on June 28th of 2010 for not obtaining the required floodplain permits before development and failure to meet the condition of approval as set forth in the approval by the Board of Adjustment. Three floodplain permits were then applied for on May 27, 2010 with a pre-construction phase permit issued on July 6, 2010. That PCPP is set to expire on July 7th of 2011. At the June 2, 2010 Board of Adjustment meeting, it was decided the requested extension was not required. However, because of the delinquency in dates, it was requested that staff report back in 1 year as to the progress of the conditional use permit. We then received an email from Matt Graham with OMG Midwest, the current property owners, on March 7, 2011, that stated work at the site had been continued up until November 2010. Since substantial action has occurred at the site up until then, the expiration date of March 3, 2010 is no longer in effect. We no longer look at that. Instead, we look at the new expiration date would be the discontinuance of the action, if that makes sense, of November 2010 meeting. The CUP would expire in November of 2011. It was suggested that if action could not be taken place by November of 2011, OMG Midwest has the right to request an extension of more than 1 year. A CUP modification request was received then on May 13, 2011, and on May 18th, a minor modification determination was made. And the dates on those pictures are actually wrong. These were taken on 5/26/11. But this is looking south off of South Dayton Ave. This is looking southwest of 560th Ave. This shows the southeast entrance. And looking northwest off of 560th Avenue. The following considerations that I have here and that are in your staff report pertain to the landscaping determinations made by the Board of Adjustment in 2004 when the original permit was approved. The applicant is requesting changes to the landscaping plan. And then I have an original landscaping plan at the end. I can also pass that around to you guys. When approved in 2004, the Board of Adjustment made the determination that they did not expect the operation to be unsightly, obnoxious, nor offensive in appearance to nearby properties. The key to the Board's determination was the proposed landscape buffering and the resulting limited views into the property and maximum stockpile heights that are lower than other significant artificial features on the surrounding landscape. The Board also concluded that maintenance of the landscape buffer, including the replacement of failed tree ground cover plantings, be critical to ensuring that the operation continues to meet this criteria over the life of the mineral extraction. All mineral activity at the time of the CUP was approved was proposed to be set back 50 feet from all property lines and the public right-of-way. The application proposed that the berm would be planted with vegetation that naturally occurs in the flood-prone areas, including approximately 1,800 trees that are 36 inches in height. Existing trees and fence along the west and south sides of the property were proposed to remain. The Board concluded with that the landscaped 50-foot buffer properly maintained should provide adequate transition to surrounding properties on the north and east sides of the site. The 50-foot setback in existing vegetation would also provide adequate transition to the west and south. The Story County engineer at the time of the original application did not expect traffic to exceed the capacity on South Dayton Avenue or U.S. Highway 30. However, the engineer did prefer that the trees be kept to the inside of the landscape berm on the east side of the property to keep snow from drifting onto the portion of South Dayton Avenue, which is in the county jurisdiction. As the site is located in the Skunk River floodplain, at the time the applicant proposed a flood control berm surrounding each mining cell to be raised at least 1 foot above the base flood elevation. The berm was proposed to serve to protect the cells from encroaching surface water and any associated contaminants. The Board determined so long as the plant material is effectively and quickly established and maintained, the environmental protection criterion has been satisfied, and that the rehabilitation will have a positive environmental impact. Also, as I stated earlier, floodplain permits have been applied for, and those are set to expire on July 7th of this year. If no activity is taken before that time, and whatever we decide, the Board decides tonight, new permits will need to be applied for if it can't begin on that date. Was it for the two parcels, Leanne? For both of them? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's that map. I'm not sure that you can see that very well. I have a copy in the folder here, but I mean, you can notice the plantings that are proposed. That would be, the top would be the east side of the property. And then here are your alternatives for tonight. And I can answer questions, which I'm sure you might have. Well, and maybe Mr. Graham can clear that up with what they're proposing for trees. The stabilizing grasses are just until they begin the operation. So I'm not sure they have identified any.
We've got a ton of words here.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to sift it down to
the salient nature of what we're talking about. And it sounds like we're talking about a requirement that says trees right away, and the applicant is asking for to use grasses and other coverage until such time as the berm, because these berms move with the operation is what I'm assuming.
Question here, also going back to what you're saying, is was the original approval had obviously a planting plan, so it specified the trees?
There were, I can get that out for you, and they are on that tiny plan that I have up there.
I'm just trying to get better summarized the nature of the change.
As I understand what you were saying, they're asking for the decision to determine what trees that they wanted to put there rather than in this plan. Okay, I'm like Dave, I'm just trying to determine exactly what they're asking for.
And they haven't stated which type of trees they were going to be using yet.
You need to come back, we'll we know where you're at.
What? Okay.
With that, we'll turn it over to the applicant. Who speaks to the applicant this evening?
Good evening. I'm Joe McGuire with Oldcastle Materials. Matt Graham, who drafted this letter and the request, well, the hearing was gave me redhead plans for his son's birthday party tonight, so I'm here in his stead. I think what I would start with is, you know, in our industry, you know, reserves, you know, aggregate reserves for future are basically, in a sense, our lifeblood. If you don't have reserves, we go out of business. You know, reserves got to be, you know, close to the market. I mean, this is ideal. So with that said, when this property had an opportunity to acquire it, you know, we chose to do that, and for a couple reasons. One is it's permitted, so it's not often that you get a reserves that are already permitted, and so that's where we're at. I guess what bottom line is we'd really like to tie this in with our other permits and our operation, because with the existing permit, the way it's written and the conditions are, we, you know, the former owner was going to be required to open this up and do some work in it. Now that we have it, we're sitting over here with reserves that are going to go out many years yet, and just from the standpoint of having two operations out there, we mine this side, and then we mine this one to comply with those old conditions of the other permit. So we're just asking that maybe these be tied, not necessarily tied together, but the date for construction tie in with, as the one ends, then we begin the other, rather than have two operations out there.
That's why you're asking for the extension for up to 36.
Yeah, because that's when the lease expires on the other property, and for us it makes sense then to, if we're going to move, close this one down, move over here, so you only have one stockpile area, one plant going, and that kind of thing. If a road wasn't in between, you know, that'd be a no-brainer. I mean, everything would work. So that's a problem. In terms of the tree planting, I guess I looked at this plan, and that's probably where some of these questions came from. And I looked at some of the species of trees on there. You know, there's, and as I drive the countryside, probably all do, you see that, you know, the white pines are slowly dying off. So I guess to me it was, why plant trees that are probably not going to make it? That's why we said, let's look at, you know, planting other kinds of trees there. And we're not opposed to planting trees by any means. I think, you know, whatever the board decides, I mean, we'll do that. We could submit a recommendation of some other plantings to the county, you know, for their approval. I mean, that would need to say we'd do that. And the other part of that is I would like those, if we're going to be planting on the backside of the berm that's out there currently, if that's required. For a couple of reasons, the berm has got the topsoil in it. So the future reclamation, to me, it doesn't make much sense to plant trees on a berm or on the face of that berm. So at some point in the future, somebody's either going to have to cut down the trees to get to the dirt, the topsoil, or vice versa, you know. I mean, so I don't want to lose both of those things. And by putting the trees behind the berm, you can accomplish both. You can have the topsoil. But for right now, you know, we have a farmer that's seeded that, and he's going to take hay off of it, and of course the rest is in row crop. So I guess it depends on what the board opts to do here in terms of how we proceed.
Clarify some things and cloudy some others for me.
Sorry, well.
So the original application was for a certain parcel of land, and now we've expanded into two other parcels? Is that, no? That's why he's mentioning...
Two inverted hallet materials had where the plant is set right now, and they've got that lease. This one, the other one was Brunings and Decor Builders or whatever, yeah. So they each had their own permit, different companies. We had one, Decor Construction, that has had their permit.
The existing site on the east side of the road that you see along Interstate 35 has been there for how many years? 20?
20, probably, yeah.
That's permitted through a conditional use permit through Hallett Materials. And then in 2004, Bruning and Decor Properties came in on the west side of the road for the two parcels under your consideration right now, and apply for a conditional use permit for similar type of operation.
I wasn't putting that.
Well, what complicates it now, OMG has bought it, but OMG is affiliated with Hallett Materials and in a
Oldcastle Materials
yeah.
Group owns Hallett Materials.
Okay. So at the end of the day, we have one permittee.
Right, and two conditional use permits.
Or two.
If one owner,
parcels of land.
One owner with two,
right.
Two conditional
okay.
Permits.
That's it.
But I wanted to make sure that I...
A little way around. Yeah, we got
that. I want to make sure that I understood. And the criteria for both Decora and Hallett's were similar? There was not any significant distinctions between the two?
Hey, I'll look to Mr. McGuire, but I'm pretty sure I'm saying this right. It was Hallett Materials was one of the first ones to come through our enhanced standards for approval and probably worked hand in hand with Lesbeck to have them established. I mean, maybe prior to that, but I know the standards are very similar.
Yeah, they're pretty similar. I think the main difference is that yearly requirement that then of activity be take place in the one that we acquired. In our existing permit, of course, we're actively mining that, so it really wouldn't apply. We didn't have a condition like that, so we're just asking from that standpoint to somehow not have to do that annual activity until such time as it makes sense to do it. In terms of tree planting and stuff, I mean, we're open to do whatever the board wants us to do there.
Now that we have a single owner to bring this into a single continuous CUP?
That was something the applicants and staff have had some in-depth conversations with. I guess I would hesitate to do that. One, from an enforcement standpoint, that road is there, and it's more clear for us to go forward with the east side versus the west side. Two, the time frame, this one will be likely vacated and restored by the time and remediated by the time they go westward. And that road is that physical barrier.
And we're not opposed to having the two permits. It's just that requirement to have to do something on an annual basis. I mean, thank you.
Any comments from the public this evening? Okay. We will then now close the request for CUP 01-04 and begin deliberation. And get my all my papers sorted out here. We always go through the part, we've heard no real reservations from the staff, which is the findings of facts. Do we have a motion to adopt the standing of facts? Do we have any comments or questions about those?
I move that we adopt the findings of facts as put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
I will second that motion.
Got a motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to adopt the finding of facts as put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Leanne?
Gill?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Bill Meyer absent. Larson absent.
We need to work for the standards of approval, and I think we've gone through most of the questions. The questions are of compatibility, which it is. This parcel is being used similarly to the one to the east of it. The analysis of transition, the analysis of traffic, environmental protection, and any supplemental standards.
And
the comment I think is notable down there is the board had no reason to believe based on the application plans that the standards will not continue to be met ongoing through the life of the operation. Have a motion?
I move to adopt the decision regarding the standards for approval as put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second that motion.
We have a motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to adopt the decision regarding the standard for approval as put forth in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Leanne?
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Fielmeyer absent. Larson absent.
Not identified any additional requirements or stipulations above and beyond what's presented in the report.
What about the plant life? Is that one the trees that he was asking about? Is that part of the next piece?
Well, if we go to the motion, if we go through the words that are down, and we move to approve the request as proposed.
Okay.
So the proposal would include the items that you've got presented to you before.
Okay.
Has to talk about the trees, the grasses, and the other items like that. We don't need to restate those above and beyond.
That motion? Okay. I move to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP 0104 as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all standards for approval have been satisfied.
Second.
So we've got a motion from Scarlett and a second from McGill to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP 01-04 as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all standards for approval have been satisfied. Leanne?
McGill?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Fielmeyer absent. Larson absent.
The request is approved as... An alternative species were allowed in the report.
Under their decision.
Right.
But until time of construction that those trees be decided on. Do you have anything different, Leanne? I would just suggest that it would be, I think it would be worthwhile to submit something so that we can have it of record, and then continually review it too, as you know, Dutch Elm disease is prevalent now, as trends continue, and then we can work with our new conservation director too to make sure it's a species appropriate for the area and not detract.
The premise of the board is that you will continue to be a good neighbor, and anything that you can do to engage the staff and keep them involved is a good thing. That's a good thing. All right, any other business to come before the board this evening? Okay. Any comments from the board on anything in general? Any comments from staff?
I want to introduce Kristen Cook. She's our new... Yes,
I didn't know.
She's new, our new office coordinator, and for a few months I'm going to be doing the minutes, and we'll transition Kristen as she learns the language and your faces and your voices and everything, so... bear with me as I do this duty, too.
We're pretty spooky, so.
You worked at the school before? The elementary, or? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Good. Good.
Welcome. We're glad to have you. I'm glad to have you on board. Any other comments from staff?
I'm just very happy Kristen chose us.
And I think the board, the number of us were able to make it to the training session. We appreciate you putting that on. I think it was a good session. I think it was well presented, as I would have expected knowing the people involved.
The unfortunate part of it is, as I was faced by this, continue to shrink. Our state university's extension shrinks, and so either the cost of the training goes up for us, or Gary's even talking about no longer doing it, except for in venues like we have it. So, and being a good neighbor to Iowa State, maybe we can continue to have him come.
But, he's good.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of very positive things to say about
that. Well, do we have a meeting next month? Do we not know?
You do. You have events matter that's been tabled.
That'll be our next meeting. Is anything else? If not, we will stand adjourned. Okay. Thank you.